Welcome to the Power Hour, episode 2 on halfguarded.com. I'm your host, Zachary Turtle Gilbert. This is my co-host, Danny Ford. That's right, it's back.
Oh no. I'm out the bathroom this week, guys. Hey, is there anything wrong with my audio?
You say that, but if we didn't fix the audio issues, you're gonna sound a lot worse right there.
Oh god.
Oh, yeah, God. We acknowledge there were some issues with the audio last week. The show was posted late anyway, because I guess there was something kind of big going on in the MMA world. I don't know.
I haven't heard about anything like that.
Yeah. So, a little late, so our picks look really good. After the fact.
Look, if you're coming to the show looking for actual gambling advice, you will only leave penniless and broke. Because that is the nature of college football.
Or do the opposite of what we say.
Yep. And make all the money. You can't lose.
It can go either way. So.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Pretty big week for football. Not so much for college. Well, kind of a big
week. It was
week.
A huge week for college, I'd argue. Yeah.
Well, it was NFL.
It was a classic college football weekend. Where everybody goes, oh, this is going to be shit, dude. Why are they even having these games? And then it ends up being awesome. And it was like,
yeah, there were a lot of fun games. I think the Hail Mary with CMU.
Sure.
For like, what's that, the second time this happened in like 4 years now?
Yeah, the same play.
The crazy Hail Mary.
Yeah, they did the same play in the Bahamas Bowl. America's finest bowl game.
My favorite bowl. Quick side note. Did you see where the Miami Heat are holding their training camp?
I did not.
The Bahamas.
Sure. That's a good move.
So yeah, there's some beat writers stuck in like University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, covering the Bucks. And the Heat writers going to the Bahamas in October.
But see, the fun thing about that is that's no higher than like the third best thing about covering the Heat as opposed to covering another NBA team.
Yeah.
I know true. Zach Lowe got the shit end of the stick. Not Zach Lowe. The one who does the Eye on Basketball podcast.
Zach Harper.
Yeah. Like he moved to Miami to cover the Heat for CBS like 2 months before LeBron left. So, like, within a year, they had moved him to Salt Lake City. So yeah. It was like, yeah, we're not going to pay you to cover Hassan Whiteside or whatever.
What a shit. What a... I'd be really bitter, too.
Like, but he came so close to getting the best gig, and then it just stolen out from under him.
Okay, you mentioned CBS, and there's an article I read this week that I wanted to bring up, because we had... Vatek, Tennessee, and Arlington. Bristol.
Arlington National Cemetery. They put a football field down. That would be the most horrifying thing I've ever thought of.
But Tom Fordelli of CBS Sports had the suggestion, why not do, what was it, 8 SEC games at once in Talladega? Which I think you can fit, technically. And I'm all for it. Imagine the spectacle. 8 games going on at once on one race car track. I mean, would that not be the greatest thing ever?
Oh, man. Wouldn't they have to add 2 teams to do that?
Yeah. Maybe it was 6 games. I can't remember.
That would be, that would be somebody's, like, That would either be like the culmination of a lifelong fantasy for somebody, or it would like be a dark ritual that unwakens something horrifying.
Some sort of southern monster.
Yeah. like some unholy, like the ghosts of all the slave owners come back to life and start like pulling people apart.
And like offering them sweet tea.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
All right, but we mentioned the game, Vatek, Tennessee, in what had to be a interesting spectacle to go to, but if you wouldn't watch the football game, looked like you weren't having much fun as a spectator.
No, it looked miserable as far as a football watching experience, but it was probably fun to do like once. So
yeah.
They'll probably screw up and do it 100 times, even though nobody would ever want to see that twice.
But we had some other pretty crazy games this weekend.
Oh,
anything
Jesus.
Like in particular you love? Well, like, what was your favorite?
Well, it's hard to top the Mac and the Big 12 conspiring to screw Oklahoma State out of a win. But okay, so here's the backstory on this. Oklahoma State, they've got 4 seconds left on the clock, which was enough time where if they would have, they could have hiked the ball, taken a knee, and killed the clock. 4 seconds is a less enough time that you can run that down on one play, even though there's a turnover on downs, because it was fourth down. That's the key. Instead, Oklahoma State elects to have their quarterback just take the ball and chuck it as far down the field as he can, where nobody can intercept it. Referees call flag. Obviously, that is intentional grounding. And the referees screw up the call because the rule book specifically says, and like word for word, this is not an interpretation. This is in the rule book, it is specifically referencing if this happened. And the rule book states that if an offensive team commits a penalty on the last play of the game and the possession switches, ball game's over. Okay. You cannot.
You don't get an extra.
Yeah, you
chance.
Don't. Yeah. You only get an untimed down if there's a flag on the offense, or if the team that had the ball continues to have the ball. So if it had been third down and they'd have thrown that intentional grounding, and there was one more down to be played, then the game would have continued, and they would have had to play a fourth down, Oklahoma State with the ball, which they would have just taken a knee, and that would have been it.
And there's really nothing that the NCAA can do about it.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing is that the call was so clear cut and so wrong that if you're ever going to overturn a result, that's the point you do it, right? Like when it's just, oh, this wasn't an interpretation. This wasn't the ref didn't see a guy's knee go down. It was a ref literally did not know a rule. But.
Which is insane. Yeah. How do you not know the rules if you're a ref of a major college football? Here's
my take on this, though. Is this not the biggest evidence possible that this is the dumbest rule in the rule book? No coach knew it? No referees from the MAC knew it? The two referees from the Big 12 who were up in the replay booth, because it was a split crew. The replay refs were Big 12. The field refs were MAC. Nobody knew this call. Nobody knew this rule. And fundamentally, the rule doesn't make sense. Why should you be able to have a game end on a penalty? Why should that ever be allowed? The referee's call, while it was totally wrong, and they should definitely be punished and probably not be allowed to be referees anymore. Because even though it's a stupid one, you're supposed to know all the rules, guys. But it's like it's funny that the refs made that rule and everybody went, yeah, that makes sense. That's the way that should be. Like, Oklahoma State didn't complain. They weren't running up and down screaming that they got the call wrong. Like, nobody was aware that there was anything wrong with the call on the field. Because the call on the field made sense. Even if it was wrong, it made sense. So, NCAA, kill that.
After the fact, like, who discovered, like, some bookworm?
Well, apparently, like, multiple... Like, apparently, like, everybody knew immediately because within 30 minutes, like, the head office of the officials at the MAC had called them and gone, oh, boy, you just fucked up. You just fucked up huge, you idiot. Like, apparently every referee around the country immediately knew that they'd screwed up. Like, even ESPN has, like, a really crappy Mike Piero ripoff. Like, Fox obviously has the best because Mike Piero is awesome. But, and he knows everything, and he's telegenic, and he knows how to answer questions in an entertaining way. Like, he's the best.
And he gets a free case of Tito's vodka.
Yes. But like even the crappy like Mike Piero ripoffs on other networks were like, oh boy, you just screwed the pooch.
So even the guys who are getting like the free Mr. Boston cases,
yeah,
knew this was
a big mistake. Like, apparently, it's such a clear cut rule that it's like, okay, yeah, it may not be something that the average fan knows, but like half the coaches who heard about it were like, oh boy. Like even the dunderhead coaches who are fired and do studio shows were like, uh-oh, we got a problem.
And so yeah, pretty crazy ending there. Heads will probably roll. Oklahoma State.
The officials have already been suspended.
You're just sad.
Yeah. And it was the same, and the Big 12 officials, the replay officials, were the same replay officials who failed to call a targeting call a week ago. In the Notre Dame Texas game,
so there you go.
So, Big 12
more
refs
officiating.
I think if we're going to talk about what comes out of that is the Big 12, and I don't know if the Pac 12 does it yet. I know the ACC and the SEC does. They don't have replay officials on site. They have a command center where they just have
for the SEC, it's in
Birmingham. They have a command center. Yours is in Birmingham. The ACC's, I believe, is in Charlotte. It might be in somewhere else, but I believe it's in Charlotte. And they basically just have their best minds sit in Charlotte, and they review all the calls that way. And they don't leave it to some like old like the Big Ten. At least it used to. I don't know if the Big Ten has gone away from this yet, but the Big Ten used to take retired referees and put them in the replay booth. Which meant they were constantly fucking up because they were a bunch of old dudes who can't pay attention to monitors and have bad eyesight.
Where do you put that office in the Big Ten? Like in the NFL?
Chicago, baby.
In like Manhattan.
Chicago.
Well, I mean, Birmingham's, what is that, the Manhattan of the SEC? You think Atlanta?
Well, Birmingham has always been the SEC office because Alabama has an unhealthy amount of control over that conference. So... In the same way that Charlotte's not the biggest city in the ACC either, but Tobacco Road rules the show.
Well, it used to.
They still do. Politically, that conference is still run by Tobacco Road.
Oh, I just meant like your North Carolina's not hosting any NCAA championship.
Not the ACC ain't made that move yet. ACC scurred. They scurred to Carolina.
Let's move on to another game from this weekend. I'd argue the biggest game of the weekend. Auburn, baby, we're back. We're back. One quarterback, Sean White. I thought looked pretty
good. White
Sean. Run game looked solid. Yeah, White Sean.
Yeah,
White.
Who'd y'all beat again? I forgot.
And, Arkansas State, a really good team.
I guess. I mean, that was part of the deal for Gus to take the Auburn job, wasn't it? They had to give Arkansas State a payday.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, this is a team that struggled against. And we'll talk about them in a second. Struggled against, was it McNeese State?
I believe it's McNeese State, sir.
McNeese.
Not McNeese.
You know.
That sounds like their rapper nickname.
Yeah, struggle to get started. Not even that. Struggle to get Jacksonville State.
Hey, Jacksonville State's legit,
dude,
man.
I mean,
don't hate on Jacksonville State.
Apparently, until you put in a quarterback who can throw the ball, and then.
But kind of, because he can kind of throw the ball. I mean, he completed almost 50% of his passes. That's good enough.
Yeah, are we moving on to
LSU? We're not going. I just like taking a shot. At how low the bar is at LSU for a quarterback. It's like LSU is like the place that the 1970s forgot. It's like, hey, we run ISO 40 times a game, and if our quarterback throws 50%, we're happy.
But there was a team that did struggle this weekend against the lower tier opponent, and that was Georgia.
This is exactly... exactly what I was worried would happen to that team when they hired Kirby Smart, because it's like, man, this felt so Will Muschamp-y to me. Just you just and the Will Muschamp years at Florida, he just had this incredible ability to his teams would always play to whoever they were playing. So it's like, oh, we almost beat Tennessee this week. Uh-oh, we beat Georgia. Uh-oh, we just lost to Louisiana Lafayette. Oh, God, we just lost to 4-8 Georgia Southern.
Wasn't that the issue with Mark Richt at Georgia?
They never almost lost to Nichols.
They would always have one game where they almost lost to, like, Kentucky. But, yeah, never like,
Nichols barely has a football team. Like, Nichols lost their games against FBS competition last year by a combined score of like 98-0. Like, this is a pathetic performance.
They dominated. Yeah, they dominated Georgia in the front seven. Yeah,
Nick Chubb rushed for 80 yards on like 25 carries. Yeah. Nichols shut his ass down.
If you're a UNC fan, so can we say Nichols McNeese Nichols? McNichol State,
Christy McNichol State,
better defense than UNC.
Look, it's hard to argue against it. It's real hard to make an argument against it.
Because I thought they looked way better than UNC looked against Georgia. I mean, if I was a UNC fan, like with Big Chizik guy, I'd be pretty disappointed right now.
Well, that's a constant war. I mean, that's constant being disappointed with Carolina's defense. That's been the story throughout Fedora's reign at North Carolina. It's just the defense never seems to ever be getting better.
So there you go, UNC. You're worse than Nicole State. RIP.
I'm glad you threw the RIP on at the end.
Even though you were, you know, we'll catch the real killer for you, Nicole, one day. Because this podcast were big. OJ didn't do it, guys.
Obviously. Look, we listening. Just follow the evidence where it leads us. We don't let the media, the lamestream media, lead us down a path. We let the evidence lead us.
We don't listen to the SJW cucks on this podcast. Tell you that much.
How disturbing is that trend, though, in political discourse, like just in general discourse, that like cuck has become a term?
I love saying the word cuck. I just walk around my house calling like my cat a cuck at times. I don't know why.
Well, I think you know why. You walked in and it was sitting there in a corner wearing a mask.
Any other big games this week we want to talk about before we move on to this Saturday?
I think another trend is that's starting to develop is the revenge of defenses. Like, defenses returning to college football. It's like the offensive gurus are not putting up the offensive numbers that they, you know, it's not like, it was like a few years ago where like every team was lighting up everybody for like 50 points. And now we're looking up and, like, we're seeing defenses starting to hold teams back down to, like, we're seeing the scores are not – it's not as video gamey, let's put it that way.
Yeah. It's no more of those crazy – well, Baylor was putting up these points a year ago.
Baylor played like a bum 55. School again, didn't they? Like, who did Baylor play?
I think – can't remember who Baylor played this week.
I'm willing to bet it was like Lamar or something. Yeah. Like some school you never did hear of.
We'll find out.
But Clemson is looking very Ohio State last year. Oh, what is going on?
Excuse me.
What is happening?
I don't know what happened there.
What is happening?
Oh boy.
This is not professional.
Not at all. No, certainly wasn't looking to see if Baylor played SMU last week.
Okay.
Which they did, and they won 43.
Hey, SMU, they hired Chad Morris. How's that going? Clemson is looking very like Jameis Winston's second year to Florida State, Ohio State last year, where you just have this like weird hangover from making it, you know, and in Florida State and Ohio State's case, they actually won the thing, but Clemson's just got this weird hangover thing going where it's like, they can't seem to get their shit together, and I'm not, and it doesn't really make any sense either, because like they could not run the ball against Troy. So I mean, maybe they just have a real problem with like lower Alabama, and once they can get through this, everything's gonna be okay. I don't know, but lower Alabama, the Gulf Coast is giving them some problems.
Could we argue the whole state of Alabama is in Clemson's
head? I mean, they ran up and down Alabama's defense.
But they still
lost.
Yeah,
but they moved the ball pretty. I say upper Alabama, they got that shit. It's the damn Gulf Coast they're worried about.
Well, I thought Clemson, though, did look good. Like, I think in the second half, they kind of turned it on. And maybe they've got it going. And we'll see. You know, they got some bigger games coming down the road.
I mean, obviously Alabama and Troy are not the highlights of their season. Or Auburn and Troy.
Auburn, yeah. Say that. I think they'll look back at that Auburn win as like a pretty good win.
Yeah.
They're trying to make the playoffs. But we'll find out. But let's move on to the games this week. And let's start with kind of the main event game. Like we're gonna kick off with the main event. That's Louisville.
Louisville. You gotta swallow your tongue when you say Louisville.
Louisville takes on FSU in a game that could decide.
Yeah,
the ACC.
I mean it's one of the deciders. Like, you know, you sort of gotta. I'm not sure I'm willing to put Louisville in that discussion, but they haven't really played anybody worth a damn, but by God, they set those nobodies on fire. Like, they didn't just beat them. They set their houses on fire. They killed their dogs. They burned their fields. They threw salt on them.
I think Syracuse was just crying after the game, and Louisville just didn't even care. They switched them back over.
Kicked sand in their eyes. They threw a jellyfish at them.
Said, cry some more.
Like, it was just a bad day for Syracuse. And then the week before, Louisville basically just said, nah, UNC Charlotte, you don't exist anymore. Bye. Like,
what? How many points would Louisville put up on Syracuse?
Oh my God. I can't count that high. I cannot count that high.
Because if you're new to the show, we have a reoccurring theme where Dan thinks that offenses would do
better on
the moon.
Okay, that's not my point. My point was that originally I made this point about Christian Hackenberg. That guy is so terrible that you could take him to the moon and give him a month to get used to moon gravity. And then take a defense straight off the rocket. They don't have any time to get used to the moon. They're still going to pick him off five times. Because that's how bad he is. It's not that the moon helps.
It'd be really easy to pick someone
off. It's not that the moon helps you be better at offense. It's that he could get all the time in the world to get used to the moon. Play somebody with no moon experience. And they still going to whip his ass. Because that's how bad he is.
It's hard to throw in the moon. I think it'd be really easy to adapt playing defense in the moon. Because you can jump.
Yeah,
high.
But he should have all that arm. But he should be used to the way the ball caroms. He should be able to figure it out with a month. I gave him a month and he still couldn't do it.
Well,
this bum.
Well, we'll see. Once we get a sponsor that'll support this
experiment. SpaceX.
We'll find out. SpaceX. We're looking at you. Elon.
Look, this is real science. Get rid of your dumb electric cars. We all know hydrogen's better anyway. Start funding moon football games.
Speaking of football games, let's go back to FSU Louisville. That game is in Louisville, Kentucky. Noon kickoff. Kind of weird.
And it's the game day game.
The game would be later.
They're gonna be there with the Papa John. Probably gonna be the guest picker. He may or may not be sober.
Favorite of past Power Hour guest Wes.
Sure, loves everybody remembers that time he was drunk and people early days of Twitter. He was drunk and didn't realize how many people on the internet, so he was taking pictures with people, totally sloshed. He's not dead.
That one, the drunk. Yeah. Well, the drunk one is.
Oh, he's still around. He's more media savvy.
He's hanging out with me.
You're not a 21-year-old co-ed. That's what I hear is more his style.
But yeah, this game kind of 12 is
a bad time for a major football game. Like, unless it's Michigan State, Ohio State, I think they always play at noon for tradition reasons.
Yeah. Well, so we can get that one out of the way to get, like, the important game.
What's the one I said was better? I said Oklahoma, Texas. That's played early in the year anyway. I think I did say that was a bigger deal than both of them.
I think we can agree on our, I think on our Big Ten preview, we did agree, I think. That game is like fourth biggest game college football. Yeah,
You can't beat a border war. That's my thesis.
No, our Army Navy.
That game is a game that everybody pretends they like every year because for like vaguely patronizing reasons.
Sounds like somebody's sitting down there.
And then it's like, oh man, this is a great game. Wow. Hey, how many passes have they thrown today? Oh, three? Great game.
Did anyone care about that game pre-9/11?
There's like a 100-year tradition of people pretending to care about the Army-Navy game.
It felt like it came to more prominence after 9/11.
I just love how every year they're like, if you love college sports, this is what it's all about. Why? Because everybody's bad? Like, I feel like that's the... nobody's good at football in this game. It's going to be fun. Neither team has a defense. It's great.
But they have a cannon.
It's going to go off. Oh, we're playing it in Philadelphia. In the winter. I mean, it is better than the Yale-Harvard game where once a year somebody tries to talk you into that being something important. No.
Have you ever watched that one?
No, I haven't.
I think the WGN.
Who could possibly care about a bunch of white dudes who are bad at sports?
A guy who grew up playing private school football.
You've got like Presbyterian games you can go see. That's real football. High Point University.
But Louisville catching 3.5 at home.
Yeah, that's that FSU. Spread is who we taking? That Florida State's going to beat them by a lot more than 3.5.
Yeah, I think FSU. How do you feel about?
I just don't think Louisville is at that level. Like Florida State and Clemson.
Would you say that's a lock?
Yeah, lock it down.
Lock it down. FSU -3.5 at Louisville. Take it. Bet the kids college fund on
for entertainment purposes only. Seriously, last week our picks were terrible. You should know this by now.
But speaking of making really good financial decisions, let's talk Ole Miss and Alabama.
You know, Ole Miss has been like the equivalent of like the act of God the past 2 years for Alabama. Like Ole Miss is like what are those trees you people have in the deep south? Yeah, it's like pine. what's tumors trees? What were they? Oaks? Yeah.
God. Doomer's Oaks.
Yeah.
Royal
like,
Oaks.
That's what Ole Miss is. It's like a really old oak tree that's like hanging over your double wide that crashed, that like rots and falls over at just the point where you just made your child support payment and have no cash. Like that's Ole Miss in a nutshell. Every year they just fall on Alabama when there's no warning and it never even makes sense half the time. Like Bo Wallace tore them up last year just by throwing jump balls that should have been intercepted. Yeah,
the great Bo Wallace.
And Chad Kelly's got that same Bo Wallace gene where it's just like, fuck it, I'm throwing.
All right, so Ole Miss is catching 10.5 or 11, depending on who your entertainment bookie guy.
And that's up from Sunday because Sunday was 9.5. So this one's been moving.
Yeah, what I'm looking at now is I'm seeing 10.5 and 11 are the best.
This Ole Miss team just doesn't seem as good as the ones the last 2 years that beat Alabama. So but man, they keep beating them. Like at some point, Alabama got to prove to me they can handle this Ole Miss chaos.
But I think losing some of the guys in the front seven is going to hurt Ole Miss. And that kind of helped with their wins getting pressure. I think Alabama's quarterback looks really good. I think Alabama wins by 20.
I don't know because they didn't look that great last week.
Dead now.
I mean, there's a huge talent mismatch with Western Kentucky. Although Western Kentucky is pretty good.
Yeah.
But
would you see the Brian Brawl speech?
See that
before the game? It's a football guy speech. You got to check it out. And I don't know if you know this, Brian Brom famously played with like a concussion.
Sure, that was going around.
He came to practice. He came to practice in a neck brace. Played that week. I don't know how much of that was kayfabe, if you will, but look that up on YouTube, people. It's there. Brian Brom, XFL, real football guy. But I think Ole Miss is kind of dead, though. I think that FSU loss like kind of hurt any confidence.
They are a moody team. That's usually when they've played Alabama the last few seasons, it's like midway through the year and they're undefeated and they're riding on an emotional high, and then they beat Alabama and they go in the tank because it's like, well, we did what we set out. Oh wait, there's more games. And then they fall apart. Since they've already had that fall apart game, maybe they're not going to be up for Alabama in the same way. I have a hard time not taking those points. Because it's like, even if Alabama beats them, they've lost to them 2 years in a row. You really think they're going to go and blow them out? I mean, because like Mississippi's not USC. They're a lot better than USC. And they're a lot better than Western Kentucky. And Western Kentucky kept it within 28. I mean,
I think we'll see. I think Alabama.
But I
got
to
like
see their quarterback
really
be able to throw the ball like against a defense that's not sending 9 to stop the run. And I ain't seen that yet.
Yeah. But who says Ole Miss?
Well, they're not gonna have to do what Western Kentucky did. Like Western Kentucky's like, well, their guys are twice as big as us, so let's crowd the box. And USC's just a garbage team coached by idiots.
I like Alabama. Yeah. Especially if you can get it at 10.5 or 9.
It's hard to bet against Alabama, but it's just got that nagging feeling that Mississippi's it's just going to continue to be a thorn in their side. But I don't think they'll beat them again. But 10.5, 11.5, they might take that. I'm more likely to just stay away from that game and just
game
watch chaos happen.
And but let's move to the West, the Southwest. And that's Ohio State and Oklahoma. Ohio State, -2.5 favorites going into the game.
And that's a game that's moved the other direction because it started as 3.5.
So I know a lot of people were thinking maybe Oklahoma wins. Yeah. I think Ohio State's really good.
They're not as tested. And, I mean, Oklahoma does have a loss, but they played somebody. You know, they played Houston. But then again, Houston's pretty much running the same offense that Ohio State wants to run because Herman came from there, and they didn't seem to have a lot of trouble with Oklahoma's defense. So, yeah.
So, I'll say it now. Ohio State, -2.5.
Oh, God.
That's going to lock it up. That's my lock of the week. Bet it all. You got, yeah. Take, go to your grandma, get a mortgage on her house.
This is now starting to sound like a Fox News commercial. Like it's, go sell all your gold, take that cash. We know you have large gold deposits. Sell that, use that money, bet it all on this game, bet it all on Ohio State, and then
take. Take Granny's wedding ring, put it on the line. On this
reverse
game right
mortgage
here.
Your house. Reverse mortgage your dog. Yeah.
Put your kid on the
sell
line.
Sell your kid into white slavery. Do what you got to do. This is your financial future here. I'm not as convinced about this game. I don't know. Oklahoma's always very good at getting off the mat when they screw up. Like, and every year they screw up, so they've got plenty of experience with this. But,
well, and if that line was like 7, maybe not, but I can see Ohio State winning by 3 or 4.
Yeah, 2.5, I'm taking Ohio
State.
That's
too hard
to
imagine.
I'm with you. I'm not locking it up, but I'm with you.
I'm locking it up, baby.
You've locked.
Locked up. But let's stay in the Western region. Let's talk Michigan State, Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Big game.
I mean,
Notre
they should. Notre Dame should beat this team handedly. In fact, if you know what's your spread at? What's the line on this game as of right now?
I am trying to find.
Okay,
Notre Dame,
if that one stayed the same since Sunday. That's still it was 7.5 Sunday. It is still 7.5. Lock it up. Notre Dame is going to whip that ass. Michigan State's a bad football team. They're not any good. They have no offense.
Yeah.
They can't really run the
I
ball
that
well.
That.
But what's more alarming is their defense is hot garbage.
And that's something Michigan State
and their secondary
for,
was their secondary was
so
sneaky bad last year. Like you could throw on Michigan State last year.
Yeah, but a good front 7 can kind of cover that
all
the time.
They've lost too many. They don't have anybody who can get to the passer without a blitz. And their secondary is still a liability. And they don't have an offense. So, look, this is a game where if we took the names off the board, well, Notre Dame would always get a lot of action. But if you made Michigan State Team X, and they had all the same stats and all the same stuff going for them, Notre Dame would be favored by like 14, 15 and a half. Because it's Michigan State, defending playoff team, defending Big Ten champion, this line is much closer than it should be. So take Notre Dame and laugh all the way to the bank. Ha 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 ha.
Let's go down south. Texas A&M travels to Auburn. Auburn's catching 4 in that game. In this series so far, since A&M's joined the SEC, the away team has won every time.
That just feels like that's one of those stats that tells you that the coaches maybe aren't that great. Like, when you can't defend your home field, usually that's a bad sign as a coach. I think Steve Spurrier's teams like had like an 80% winning percentage at home or something. Something crazy like that. Like South Carolina, even when they were going like 7-5 in his early time, like they were winning at home. They couldn't win any road games, but they could win all their home games. Because he's, you know.
That's one. Yeah. I like A&M catching 4. I think A&M probably. I think that one's close, though. I don't know if I wouldn't put any action.
I don't know. I don't know anything. like Texas A&M can't hold a lead, and Auburn's offense looks sketchy, but their defense looks improved. I don't know. If you put a gun to my head and said you got to pick one of these two teams, I'd take Texas A&M. Because I trust Chavis. Like, of all the coaches in this game, I trust Chavis more than anybody.
So let's move on to, like, those are probably our biggest games of the weekend, I'd argue. I don't know why I counted Auburn A&M.
Oh, that's a huge game, though, in the SEC West. No, don't sell that game short.
Yeah.
That's a big, big game.
Well, there's another big game in the East, though, and that's Georgia catching 6.5 at Missouri.
Missouri actually managed to score points last week, which was new.
Yes. Could Missouri upset Georgia?
Yeah, Missouri's going to beat Georgia. They're going to do it. Missouri's going to beat Georgia.
So you like, is that a...
go ahead, lock it up. Missouri's beating Georgia. But that's not based on any gambling. That's not based on any kind of gambling knowledge. It's just based on, oh man, Kirby Smart is Will Muschamp 2.0. He's gonna lose to Missouri by a lot. The year Muschamp got fired at Florida, they lost to Missouri 42-17, and gave up 125 yards to Missouri of total offense. Missouri had 100 yards of total offense and scored 42 points, which is the most Will Muschamp box score ever.
You gotta argue Missouri's like the greatest SEC East team of all time.
Look, they dominated the conference since they joined it. They have dominated that division. They've ruled it with an iron fist.
Like, they have tripped backwards into more SEC.
They got Mark Richt fired. School. Like, I feel like Missouri was the number one cause of Georgia fan angst with Mark Richt. Because I think if instead, like, those years that Missouri won the division, if Florida had won them, I don't think Georgia fans would have gone so crazy. Or if, like, Tennessee had won them, I don't think Georgia fans would have gone so crazy. But it was fucking Missouri. Yeah. That school that they only took because they had to have a travel partner for, like, they had to add somebody when they added Texas A&M, so it ended up being Missouri. And it was like, oh, man, we should have got West Virginia. Why did we let them talk us into Missouri over West Virginia? Oh my God, they just beat us. Oh my God.
Oh, Missouri. One of my favorite SEC programs.
Sure. They're a top eight SEC program.
Mm-hmm. All time. I got to see their winning percentage in the SEC East. This gotta be up there.
I mean, they don't have many down years. They had that year one where everybody got hurt, and then they had last year, which was a roller coaster of a season, to say the least.
Yes. Was Missouri? I guess they were the SEC championship. Oh, people forget that. But let's move on to, we mentioned Mark Richt earlier. Mark Richt going to App State. Favorite by 4.5. Oh.
You there, Dan? Yeah. I'm having a hard time hearing you. Miami's playing App.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
That's a strange game because Miami is in Boone, which... is a little weird.
Kind of
tells you the state of, like, Miami's budget, like, athletic department budget, that they'd be taking a road game in Boone instead of, you know, paying for a body bag game. But that spread's way too close. Like 6.5. I know they played Tennessee really close. They're not going to sneak up on two big schools in the same year, guys. Like Miami is not sitting here traveling all the way to Boone going, man, I don't know. I don't, these guys are a bunch of bums. Like, they're not going to get the same dynamic they got with Tennessee. Plus, Miami's got better coaches. Miami is a better coach team than Tennessee. There, I said it.
I feel like that's the game, too. Like, the house is going to make a lot. Because a lot of people, I think, are going to take App State there for some reason.
No.
And I wouldn't touch that.
I'm taking Miami. I'm taking Miami. You know what? I feel so good about Miami.
Oh, no.
Yeah, lock that up. Miami's beating App.
Lock it. All right, let's take a look at just a few other games real quick. Houston at Cincinnati. Houston favored by 7.5.
I do too. Cincinnati just doesn't look like they're on the same Cincinnati plays like a mid-major. Yeah. Houston plays like they belong in a major conference, and they just happen to share the same league with each other. I mean, it's funny that Cincinnati has been talked about for the Big 12, and it's almost entirely based on their geography. Because if we were going by program strength, I don't think Cincinnati would be even a top five addition for the Big 12. It's literally just, well, they're better than Memphis, I guess, and we got to add somebody with West Virginia.
Yeah. Let's take another look at what should be the most exciting game of the weekend. Boston College, Session 7 versus
Tech. I would take Virginia Tech there just because I don't know how Boston College scores 7 points. Like, I know Virginia Tech's defense kind of – they looked good for like a quarter and a half before their offense started fumbling constantly. But, like, you could fumble the ball onto the one-yard line and Boston College still ain't punching it in. Also, Bud Foster is going to want to destroy Scott Leffler for basically getting Beamer fired. Oh, God, so that's going to be terrible.
That's going to be a really boring game. That could be another one of those. I saw the picture retweeted today of, I think it's Beamer.
It was the Wake Forest game,
And it's versus Wake Forest. Yes.
It is two-fifths
up. 0-0.
Yeah, that... I believe that was called Woofed.
Football game of all time.
Because that same season or the year before it, Michigan played the moon game with Northwestern, where it was like Michigan 0 and then 0 Northwestern, and so it spelled out moon in Brady Hoke's final game, and it stayed moon until like halfway through the fourth quarter.
Oh boy. Let's move on to another one. Looks like Mississippi State catching 14.
Take those LSU points. Jesus.
I'm not trusting Mississippi State after we talked them up.
They
so
shit
much.
The bed in week one, but they looked pretty good last week. LSU looked like LSU ass again.
Kinda.
LSU has yet to stop looking like ass.
Well, and
the guy threw
for, quarterbacks.
Threw
and
for
they
like
really
he completed
back.
Less than half LSU's his passes.
Back.
And how many points?
They're back, baby. LSU is back.
No, okay, God, no. Take those
14
points.
14.5.
LSU
saying.
Can't score 14.
Take them.
Like, what? Don't take more points than the other team can score. That's madness.
I'm not touching it. It's a not touch. I still know enough about LSU, this new great quarterback in there. You get a quarterback who's completing 50%, that's going to change a lot for them.
I got a game I want to talk about. Can East Carolina conquer both of the second tier of the secondary programs of the Carolinas? Last week they took down State. This week they have South Carolina. They're not going to mess with UNC or Clemson, but by God, the number twos, they got them. Sights are set.
Who's going to be the wingman to Clemson or UNC? We're going to find out this week. East Carolina catching six. You know what? Money line them.
Oh, God, yes. South Carolina looks bad. South Carolina's a bad football team.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of...
Poor Muschamp. How long until Muschamp is fired again? South Carolina will
probably give him at least 3 years. Because their athletic director, Ray Tanner, is their athletic director. He's their former baseball coach. He's a Hall of Fame caliber baseball coach. But, oh, my God, he does not know how to be an athletic director and hire other coaches. Because he botched this offseason about as hard as you can. And I don't see him wanting to go through another hiring process if he can avoid it. So Muschamp is going to get all the time to try to fix this. And he's not, because he's bad at coaching. But, like, South Carolina, look, what's that line at right now? Okay, it was 4.5 Sunday. So literally you need to take this as soon as you hear this, because everybody is taking East Carolina because they're like, oh, wait, I get to take the better team and I get points? Yeah, I'll take East Carolina. So by the time this game rolls around, it could be a pick 'em. Because that line is moving.
Oh, but I have another game. I have a game I want to mention. I got a top secret pick of the week. And we'll get a soundbite for that one, for my top secret pick of the week. I like Georgia State catching 34.5 versus Wisconsin. I don't think Wisconsin's that good. I don't think Georgia State's very good.
That's a lot of points.
And this isn't like a Hawaii-Michigan situation. Like, this is... Wisconsin just got really lucky that LSU's a badly coached team.
Like, Wisconsin's just one of those teams where they don't have a quarterback. So their offense is just like, hey, let's...
How dare you?
You want to just run it up the middle? Yeah, sure, let's run it up the middle again. Like, that could work, though, against Georgia State. Like, I don't know if Georgia State can stop that run up the middle action.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a sneaky one. Yeah, I could see Georgia State holding that one close enough. I could see it.
Hmm.
Oh, wait. I almost missed this game.
But yeah, those are
Pitt are some at good, Oklahoma yep. State. Lock it up, Pitt. Pitt's winning that outright, let alone. And I get Pitt's the better team. They are in every way a better team than Oklahoma State. And they're getting points. Come on. Come on. Come on.
There you go.
Pitt's gonna win. Pitt is gonna do it. They're gonna be it. They're gonna be the change they wanna see in the world. They're gonna rush for 700 yards.
But as we get ready to kind of wrap things up for this week, anything you wanna mention, talk about?
Well, next week is going to be the debut of the Champions at Heart podcast. We'll probably be on SoundCloud. Check out our Twitter, which is still at Firepro Podcast. Check that out. And obviously check me out on Twitter because I'm at Dan MP Ford.
Oh.
Yeah.
So you'll be on SoundCloud. That's cute.
Look, we're in between situations.
These days.
We are homeless. We're living in our car.
House.
Look.
We're
the Champions at Heart podcast.
What's the new name? Rainbow Happy Wrestling Hour?
Look, we're Champions at Heart. We're Champions at Heart because we sure as hell ain't got no belt. Because we're making towns in a old beat up Lumina, eating damn cans of tuna and sleeping in our trunk.
Oh. But yeah, I'll plug my Twitter account at Zachary T. Gilbert. Some fun stuff on there. starting to get better at thoughts. They're coming off. I've got some big thoughts about Twitter etiquette ready to post. See if I post those this weekend.
Oh, God, yeah.
And let's also plug halfguarded.com, our host site. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you love MMA,
look, you don't need us to tell you how great
they are. You know what's up with Halfguarded. But some fun stuff, you know, the punk fight from this past weekend, the fallout from that. I'm sure there's some other stuff going on in MMA. Like, I heard a hot rumor Dadai 5000 may fight a shark. Bellator.
Yeah. He was robbed of his rematch with Kimbo. That's something to look forward to. I'll watch that.
R.I.P. Kimbo. Yeah.
The icy black hand of death robbed him of his rematch.
But did you have
the punk fight?
Any of that fight from this?
God, yeah. I watched the whole thing. Yeah. I watched half of it in Russian.
Yeah, let's talk about it real quick.
Well, I think you know how's that.
How was that?
Look. Look, CM Punk is not a fighter.
They say comrade a lot.
Although, you know, we are going into the decline here, but I do want to say this. Dana White is pretty smart, because I think every now and then you should book a total bum in the UFC who's famous just to show everybody how hard being a mixed martial artist is. Just so that everybody can see, oh yeah, this guy, he was a professional wrestler, a really famous one. He won it. He was their damn top champion in pro wrestling. And then he came and did our thing. And we put him in the ring with the lowest ranked guy in our whole company. We had a contest to see who was the biggest tomato can we could find. And we found him, and he whipped his ass with ease.
To be fair,
no, he's not. Mickey Gall's terrible. Dickie Gall has no future.
He looks like a guy who has a pretty good future. We'll see.
He will.
Future for Mickey. I'm calling it now.
He will end up losing to Sage Northcutt.
Future guest of the cast.
I mean, because that's it. They picked a guy who's so bad that they're like, okay,
we'll see.
Who out there is so bad that Sage Northcutt can beat him for a little bit of a rub? We'll have that guy beat Punk to get a little bit some heat on him, and then feed him Northcutt. Hey, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. Hey, Mickey.
Mickey, right? The song.
Well, that is one of the five most annoying songs in the history of popular music. So, but.
Who's another famous athlete?
Is Robbie Knievel still around?
Ooh.
His dad was Evil Knievel. Robbie Knievel's a guy whose name I haven't heard of in at least a decade, so why not? No.
You can whip his ass in there. Because that's where LeBron James would dominate any sport. He'd play, LeBron.
Yeah, put him in, make him a goalie, and he'd be, World Cup.
He's always the best tight end.
Yeah.
The best
hockey?
Goalie.
Yeah. Sure.
In either type of sport.
Yeah, he's tall.
Hockey or soccer.
Yeah. Oh, man, people were really annoying with that, you know? That's really annoying. But yeah, put him in MMA. Yeah, I'm sure he'd beat everybody.
Oh,
yeah. I mean, fuck, he might win the heavyweight title.
Like
shit, Punk might have won the heavyweight if he was big enough.
Yeah.
There's some pretty...
I'd like to see, Bartolo Colon.
Look, he's got home run power.
Step into the... He does.
He makes up for in fat.
And what he lacks in speed makes up for in
it's like that age old argument, hard body versus soft body.
Jiggle time.
You know.
Yeah, so but those are the things to look for. You know, next week we're gonna recap some more college football. We'll try to fit some NFL stuff in there because I know people want to hear about it. Maybe bring on a special NFL correspondent.
Because, the NFL, that's vaguely communist. If you ask me.
In mind.
The way they share all their revenues, I don't care for that.
Was it?
But they kind of do. They pay them.
Pay their players instead of gaming their players.
Look,
more than college.
There's other ways of pay. compensation is not just limited to dollars and cents.
Yeah, people forget that, People forget that No Sean Marino's family got a big investment.
Look, just because they're not paid over the table doesn't mean nobody's getting paid. There's a really nice church somewhere in the deep south.
Tuition.
That a national championship bought and paid for. But hey, I've said too much. That's an ongoing investigation.
Speaking of, did you see that clip? Yeah. Yeah.
Thanking God for Nick Chubb.
The preacher from Atlanta.
That was
a sermonal Nick Chubb.
Yeah.
That was the most Atlanta.
Yeah, that was very, that was peak Atlanta. God, what? Poor Georgia Tech can't get any sermons for its best players.
But yeah,
nobody's thanking God for Justin Thomas.
No. Well, because all their players are
Yep.
Because all
and they worship and they worship numbers and abacuses.
They're smart. Oh boy. But
nope.
Yeah, and we don't believe in numbers here. I'm not a sabermetrics guy.
I believe in pre-Arabic math. So it's like whatever they did before zero was invented.
But next week, we'll look forward to some big games. I think there's a few brewing in the SEC that look interesting in other places. We'll try to maybe talk some NFL. And
it's getting close.
Basketball's almost back.
And the we'll have to have the proprietor of the shitty Atlanta sports blog on to come break down the Hawks. Mm-hmm. Yeah!
And that's me. There we go. And we may have a guest in mind, actually, for NBA. So we'll see if Bill Simmons will return my call.
Oh, man. Well,
but yeah. So, Dan.
This, for our second week on Half Guarded, there's only one way to end the show, and that's by play that music, Jason. Fuck you. You stole Tom Lawler's money.
Fuck you, CM Punk. Fuck you.
Play the music, Jason.